I really want to congratulate all of our panelists and all of you for being here, you know, I think our panelists did an exceptionally great job, not only, you know, presenting their material, but also setting me up exactly perfectly, you know, because I think, you know, I saw the progression, and now I'm really going to give just a quick snapshot of what we're doing here in the city of Rancho Cucamonga and how that relates back to health and all policies. You'll see a lot of what was discussed in the past few presentations of how we're actually implementing a whole health and all policies approach with the city of Rancho Cucamonga. So just a little bit of context, a little bit of background in the city of Rancho Cucamonga. A lot of people have asked me this question ever since I've been in the conference. Where is Rancho Cucamonga? I know Jack Benny, you know, would say, Rancho Cucamonga, you know, and a lot of people don't know where it's at. Well, if you go to L.A. and travel about 40 miles east, you'll find the city of Rancho Cucamonga. We're on the west end of San Bernardino County, one of the largest cities in San Bernardino County with about 175,000 people. It's about 40.2 square miles, and for those of you that know a little bit about San Bernardino County is right just east of Los Angeles and north of Orange County. It's also the largest geographic county in the entire nation. Unfortunately, some of the aspects of San Bernardino County that affect the county also affects the city as well. One of the most obese counties in the entire nation, and we have by far the least access to physicians in our region, and it's something that's not mentioned there, but it's not even close. I don't remember the figure, but I believe it's close to the four-digit mark. It's, I believe, more than 1,000 for every 1,000 residents. There's only one physician. Ninth highest death rate from heart disease, and 2 out of 3 residents are obese or overweight, and 2 out of 4 students do not meet the physical fitness standards. So based on all that information, one of the things that San Bernardino County did was really start evaluating what it was going and where it was going, and to be honest, it wasn't going very well, like I've mentioned. And so what the County Department of Public Health had really made a commitment is to develop the Healthy Cities and Healthy Communities Initiative. They went to the County Department of Public Health and provided some seed money and a position there with county and said, why don't you reach out to local cities and to help to develop a health and all policies approach, because that's pretty much what it is. Without too much information involved, a lot of cities started receiving this accreditation, you know, to be involved as a healthy city. And so the city of Rancho Cucamonga, when they got this money, it was, you know, I think the stars all aligned at the same time. The mayor at the time of the city of Rancho Cucamonga was Donald Kurth, which is also an MD doctor and a former fellow from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And when he received the seed money from the county, he said, well, wow, this is also the same time that we're doing our update to our city's general plan. And for those of you that know a little bit about what general plans are about, it's really the guiding document for the city for the next X number of years. Now, general plans are not routinely updated. Sometimes it takes 10 to 15 years to update the city's general plan. And so it was during that time when the city was updating its general plan where it received its healthy Rancho Cucamonga designation. And as I said, the mayor at the time was very focused on health and sustainability, and it was really startled of these results on childhood obesity and other conditions that exist in our region. And he said, well, why don't we, you know, include health and sustainability as the overarching principle of the city's general plan? Because one thing we all have in common as residents is that health affects us all. And so instead of including it as a component within the city's general plan, health and sustainability were intertwined throughout the city's general plan. So it was really as an approach that was just leading by example and saying the city really values health. So now you'll see health woven throughout the engineering department, community services department, city manager's office. Among every single department, you'll find an element of health and sustainability woven throughout. We have a general approach that's mind, body, and earth. So we focus on the psychological aspects of health, the body approach. We have a very large coalition of a green team coalition that focuses on renewable energy and recycling, and our body component that focuses on health and you know, the type of physical health that we all could all benefit from. I manage the Healthy RC Kids initiative, which a lot of it is focused on the health aspect of it. So I don't have enough time to really talk about the overarching approach. So I'm going to share a very quick snapshot on what the city's approach for childhood obesity is. So when the city started becoming very serious about health, you know, the only issue is, of course, the tough economic times ask for resources and ask for opportunities. So it's great to put things in the city's general plan, but where does the money come from? And as we all know, for those of you that are working with city government, we were always threatened by, you know, funding cuts. And then just recently with the loss of redevelopment, it provided a tremendous loss to a bunch of opportunities that could lend itself to healthier environments and healthier communities. And so what the city did is they applied to big pots of money. They really were serious about this and say, let's apply to competitive grant opportunities that are really going to take us beyond programmatic approaches. We value programs. We value health education programs that are great and wonderful, but we need to go beyond that. We need to start changing our environments because really, you know, when you change your environment, you have the opportunity to become healthy. And so the city applied to a very competitive Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant under the Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities Initiative and was successful in its funding source. But you know what was interesting about that approach is that Healthy RC, although being integrated, and I'm not going to kind of go through this, but it just kind of as a snapshot of how the city has leveraged a lot of great amount of funds and has really integrated throughout its whole climate and environment within the city of Rancho Cucamonga. The city, what they did a good job in is that they said, you know what, we have an action plan that we would like to determine based on the data that we've received, based on the multiple forms of information. There is a lot of approaches that we could achieve here in the city of Rancho Cucamonga. But I think we're kind of missing out on that group that really needs it the most. There's an area of the city in Rancho Cucamonga called Southwest Cucamonga. That's an area of the city that often doesn't get talked about. It's not the area with the brightest trees. It's not the areas with the biggest houses. It's unfortunately an area that has less access to fresh fruits and vegetables, less access to park space. And you're talking about Rancho Cucamonga that has some of the biggest and most beautiful parks in the area. And I think in all of San Bernardino County has the largest ratio of parks per people. But in that area of the city, you have least amount of parks. And you have less access to fruits and vegetables. And unfortunately, there's more gang activity in that part of the city. So really what they did is they reached out to the community and conducted a community forum. I'm going to kind of go over these slides pretty quickly. But what they did is they developed a community partnership and really reached out to community members. And they said, we need to really develop a community coalition that's based on hospitals, schools, local businesses, universities, city staff, and of course, residents, youth, and adults, because we want to make sure that these are the people, these are really the experts in our community because they live there and they've developed roots there and they've developed families that are there. And so they developed a community forum, and that community forum was really reaching out to local community members and saying, we have this money and we've developed a lot of different and leveraged a lot of grant opportunities, but let us know what you want us to do with it. There's a lot of opportunities that we've considered based on the data that we have, but we want to hear what is important to you. What is important to your family? Now, for those of you who've ever put on a community forum, sometimes it's hit or miss. I've been to community forums where like, oh wow, same four people we always see are always here and kind of twiddling your thumbs and kind of waiting around. There's more staff than residents. Well, this community forum was richly attended. Over 170 people showed up at this community forum. And the reason why we didn't get any more is because police had to shut, fire department had to shut down the doors because it was creating a fire hazard at this small community center. And so we had a lot of local residents engaged and mobilized and doing this wonderful mapping exercise where we had senior citizens, where we had local youth, and we had community members start identifying the strategies that were important to them. And one of the things that started coming out loud and clear is that we're getting listened to. People are listening to us. People are listening to what we have to say. We have something to say, and we're getting and being provided with strategies and opportunities for us to finally speak up and have a voice. Local residents identified specifically farmers markets, incorporation of more farmers markets in our city. You know, we want community gardens. We want a safer route to school. There's actually no sidewalks in some parts of our city. And we want to encourage more of our kids to walk safely to school, just like we did when we were kids. We all walked to school, and now it's with budgets being cut and buses being actually cut from school programs. How do we get to school if we don't even have transportation ourselves to take them to school? And how do we expect our kids to get to school when there's a lot of gang activity going on? So it's a safety issue as well. And so it was so interesting that those strategies that came out of that community forum helped to inform the strategies that the city has been undertaking for the past couple of years, and saying these are the strategies that have been voiced upon by our local residents and our youth and our community partners, and saying this is important to us. Insomuch that one of the greatest things about that approach was that the city really saw that advocacy spirit and said, you know what, we really need to engage partnerships, not on just the peripheral level, but really involve them, engage them in the process, really utilizing what they didn't know was a CBPR approach, community-based participatory research approach. And so what they started doing is forming subcommittees based on those specific strategies of farmers markets and community gardens. No one knew a lick about farmers markets and community gardens. We all just thought they were good things to do, but you know, it wasn't until we started forming our subcommittees and really generating partnerships with experts in the area, but also involving local residents, did we really start seeing that approach starting to come to fruition. I just wanted to kind of share this really quick story about community gardens. I remember when we're doing a focus group, and you know, I speak two languages, and I remember all the residents were Spanish speakers. We kind of had our agenda, okay, we're going to ask all these questions on community gardens and why you want a community garden. And I'm anticipating answers, oh, because it's about healthy eating and active living, and that's why we want community gardens. I didn't know, you know. And it was so interesting, and it kind of put some tears to my eyes. A couple of the residents said, well, the reason why we want community gardens is because when I came to this country, you know, I see my grandkids, you know, grow up. And when I ask them, where does an apple come from? And they say the store, you know, or the 7-Eleven. Now they have apples there. But they don't remember what I had to go through in El Salvador, what I had to go through in Mexico when I tilled the ground. We didn't have stores where I grew up in. And that's a piece of my cultural upbringing that I feel is going to be forgotten here in the United States. It's so important to us culturally to bring that back and to show the future generation of what we went through just to have fruits and vegetables. We need that as part of our community. And I think after we all wiped our eyes, we said, this is important to the community. We need to follow along with this. We need to continue along with this. But one of the interesting things is that as we started forming our subcommittees, you know, we quickly, you know, because we're coordinating these efforts through our local government, you know, and it's very advantageous to be part of the city manager's office, being able to coordinate this whole healthy Rancho Cucamonga or healthy RC effort. We noticed that a lot of residents wanted to come to the subcommittee after the focus group. And they were starting to come to our subcommittee meetings and steering committee meetings, and then we started seeing it kind of drop down a little. And we saw our community partners still attending, but our local residents and youth really not attending as much. And it wasn't until one time when I asked one, just the super champion, Barbara, who was always there, I asked her, well, you know, kind of give me a sense, why aren't the residents participating? And he goes, Ruben, think about it. You're talking about zoning and ordinances and the mayor and city council. We don't know who these people are. He goes, I'll be honest with you. The first meeting that we had about community gardens, I actually had a shovel in my car. I thought we were going to get ready to till the ground. I didn't know there were so many steps involved. I go, you want us to get involved, but how are we going to get involved if we don't even know the process? And I went to the city and I said, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes we get so our head to the grind and we're just moving forward and we're just thinking so positively, but we have to take a step back. And we had to say, you know what, if we really want true, meaningful engagement from our local partners, we got to make sure that everyone's on the same page and has a clear understanding of what's going on. So what we developed leadership programs amongst our local residents, our Spanish-speaking residents, and I presented about this earlier today, about our Spanish-speaking residents and our youth residents. And we taught them, what is policy? A big policy 101. Why is a policy important? What, you know, what is the difference between an ordinance and a resolution and a statute? You know, who is the mayor? Do you want to meet him? Yes, let's go meet him. Who is your city council member? You know, how do you develop an argument? How do you speak in front of public? Come to a council meeting. You could say whatever you want. It's your city. Showing them different amenities within the community. It was such a fantastic exercise in just meeting our community partners. But at the same time, it was also an education for us working in the city about what are the realities of our community. Because these are the residents that live in the community that need it the most. And so and I say that they're the biggest educators that the city has ever had, because we learn so much about them every single day and more about their realities every single day. I'm going to go back to the slide. But One of the greatest things about these local residents is they've, for the past 2 years, they've remained plugged in. They're still working hard and they're still established, and they've been able to be very instrumental in so many of the policies that the city has passed. For example, with our community gardens initiative, they were very instrumental, not only into establishing a policy and an ordinance, but also speaking in front of city council and being able to articulate the actual ordinance. Imagine that. Being able to, some of us probably struggle with articulating ordinances and policy and zoning languages, but it wasn't until one of the residents said, well, if I'm a millionaire, let me just put this in perspective, Ruben. If I'm a millionaire and I want to operate a community garden, where in the city could I put it in? Because I just want to see if it affects my community where I live in. And so we went to the planning department and he came back with this map and said, okay, the colored areas of the city, that's where community gardens are supported. And she looked at it and she goes, wow, that's nowhere near close to me. I kind of live in this area of town. I said, wow, you're right. And I go, well, even if we pass an ordinance, it's still zoned in that part of town, in these little, small, little pockets of town. We presented that to the deputy city manager and to the assistant city manager at the time, and who's now the city manager of our city, and said, hey, guess what? John and Linda, check this out. What is this? Oh, this is where we could have community gardens in our city. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. That's terrible. No, let's zone out all residential areas of the city. Oh, great. Hey, Barbara, we're going to zone out all residential areas of the city. So guess what our map has changed to? That's our map now. This is all the areas of the city that are now zoned for community gardens that support future community gardens. The white areas are all business areas. And so the way we define business areas is that you could actually support a community garden as a secondary use. So, for example, if you run the local Kmart and you want to have a community garden in your parking lot, you don't even have to pull out a permit anymore because of this ordinance. Also, you know, when we started digging a little deeper, you know, Barbara came up with the same question. Okay, now that my area is zoned, how much, you know, I don't know anything about the permitting cost. Can I start digging holes? You know, what do I do now? And so we found out from our planning director that you needed to pull out a conditional use permit that costs $2,300 and $500. And I was like, oh my God, that's ridiculous for operating a community garden. There's no way we could raise funds for that. Showed it to our assistant city managers. Oh, no, let's just waive the fee. So now you need a conditional use permit with zero fee because local residents got involved with our community collaboration and said, we could do this. We can just really highlight the realities of working with our city using a health and all policies approach and saying, we could make this happen and really zone out more areas for community gardens and create a definition that really helps to alleviate any kind of economic conditions associated with that. So, like I said, I'm just really here just to provide a snapshot of some of the programs and some of the policies that our city has passed. Our city has a really comprehensive approach to health. It's really involved in every single department. You know, just very interestingly, these are just some of the initiatives that we're working on right now. We've passed policies related to community gardens, farmers markets, recently nutrition standards, and really these were all based on feedback that we got from our community partners. But also, I challenge you to work with your city and to identify what are the, you know, as was mentioned before, the low-hanging fruit. Think of opportunities that already exist in your city. As in, you know, just to show you how easy it was, just a couple months ago, I went to a conference when they were talking about complete streets. And so I said, oh, wow, what an innovative concept, complete streets. And I set up a meeting, you know, after that conference and said, wow, this is an interesting concept called complete streets. I set up a meeting with our planning, engineering, public works, and city manager's office and say, hey, let's talk about complete streets. What are we doing? Planning, what are you doing? Engineering, what are you doing? What are we doing here? What are we doing there? And we pooled our resource, and I was just floored at the amount of work that we're not documenting already in the city of Rancho Cucamonga. We already have a complete streets approach in our general plan, but now we're passing an implementation ordinance to really document the existing efforts that are already happening on complete streets. So it's really going to be one of the biggest wins that we had, but we didn't do any extra work about it. It's just really documenting some of the efforts that your city is doing as well. Involve your community partners. It's so tremendous. I know it's been said over and over and over again. Involve your community partners in the planning process. I'm really happy to see Dion Bing Turner here, who is you know, just very instrumental in our farmers market program. You know, when we're passing our ordinance, like I said, we're just totally out of sync. We didn't know what farmers markets were, and we didn't really know the capacities, and just sharing his expertise and operating and coordinating two of the city's three farmers markets, it was very instrumental in helping to pass our policy. We now have an ordinance within the city that we actually not only address farmer's market, but we actually came for a criteria of what our farmer's markets look like. So if you go to the city of Rancho Cucamonga, you go to the farmer's market, 75% of the market floor must be dedicated to the healthy food items. That's really innovative. So because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been to cities where you're like, oh my gosh, this is a farmer's market, right? They're selling me cell phone cases and they're trying to sell me car insurance. Is this a swap meet or is this a farmer's market? If you go to the city of Rancho Cucamonga's farmer's market, you'll be ensured that 75% of the products sold are the healthy farm products that we all want to see. And that's because residents ask for that, because the city is really committed to our resident input. Just really quickly, like I said, we have joint use agreements, healthy dining approach. We're participating with our local restaurant establishments, if there's a ton of them on Route 66. Working with our Complete Streets approach, a smoke-free recognition program to encourage more of our local partners to be smoke-free. And we have a Fun on the Run mobile recreation program that we actually go out into parks that are in the Southwest Cucamonga area and teach kids about healthy eating, active living, and encourage them to be more physically active as well. Also, if you have an iPhone, I saw a lot of iPhones here. If you have an iPhone, go to the iTunes store free of charge, and you want to know a little bit more about what the city of Rancho Cucamonga offers, go to the RC2Go app, and you'll be able to download that. What the most interesting thing is that we're starting to highlight, and the advantage of having our own GIS department in the city is that they created this app so we could really do whatever we want with it, which is pretty exciting. We identify all the healthy eating amenities within the city. We'll be identifying our farmers markets. We'll be identifying our community trails in the area, so it makes it much easier if you're visiting the city of Rancho Cucamonga to be able to identify what are some of the amenities and some of the health movements and initiatives that are being established here in the city. And that's my info. Hope that provided a nice good snapshot, so I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.